welcome to this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 category smart. This is Jessie Colhagen, and you're listening to The Life Note, Last Child in the Woods by Richard Louv and summarized by Marcia Joseph. As always, we'll begin with a quote. For a new generation, nature is more abstraction than reality. Increasingly, nature is something to watch, to consume, to wear, to ignore. A recent television ad depicts a four-wheel drive SUV racing along a breathtakingly beautiful mountain stream, while in the back seat, two children watch a movie on a flip-down video screen, oblivious to the landscape and water beyond the windows. Last Child in the Woods is based on the important idea that being out in nature is fundamental for kids and benefits them both physically and emotionally. This refreshing and enjoyable book will likely be just the encouragement you need to get your kids out into nature, growing, learning, appreciating, and simply enjoying the world beyond their small electronic screens. Richard Louv has authored 8 books dealing with the topics of nature, family, and community. Winner of the 2008 Audubon Medal and co-founder of the Children and Nature Network, he is well-versed in the importance of nature to the well-being of children. In this Life Note, we'll consider the ideas of a nature deficit and why we need nature, the fear factor and how fear keeps kids inside, finding nature close to home, who will be our future nature stewards, and the importance of environment-based education. It seems that it's time for parents to hide their kids' video games and send them outside to chase butterflies and search for frogs instead. We are inspired by the author's passion for nature, and we think you will be too. Big thought number one, facing nature deficit. Kids are missing out on nature. Quote, more time in nature combined with less television and more stimulating play and educational settings may go a long way toward reducing attention deficits in children and, just as important, increasing their joy in life. End quote. Kids today simply don't play outdoors as often as in the past, and their time in nature has radically decreased in recent years. In the United States, quote, from 1997 to 2003, there was a decline of 50% in the proportion of children 9 to 12 who spent time in such outside activities as hiking, walking, fishing, beach play, and gardening, according to a study by Sandra Hofferth at the University of Maryland, end quote. Wow, a 50% decline. That's astounding, isn't it? The author interviewed thousands of children and parents about how family life has changed. One comment from Paul, a fourth grader, particularly struck him. Paul said, I like to play indoors better because that's where all the electric outlets are. What a sad statement. Rather than going outside to play and enjoy all that nature offers, this youngster wants to hang out inside where he can plug in his electronics. The concept of this nature deficit that children are facing today seems to be a particularly important one to take note of. What about in your household? Are your kids facing a nature deficit as well? Might it be time for you to look into the nooks and crannies of your garage for your long-forgotten camping equipment, those fishing poles, or gardening gloves? Consider planning a fun outdoor adventure with your kids if you haven't done this in a while. Better yet, ask your kids to dream up a fun outdoor adventure that they would like to have as a family. What are your kids more likely to remember when they look back at their childhood? That time they scored 1,000 points on a video game, or the first time they saw a shooting star while camping outside under the night sky? Being proactive about avoiding the nature deficit in your own household could create amazing experiences and memories for your family that will last for years to come. Big thought number two, we need nature. Containerized kids. Quote, a widening circle of researchers believe that the loss of natural habitat, or the disconnection from nature when it is available, has enormous implications for human health and child development. They say the quality of exposure to nature affects our health at an almost cellular level. End quote. Children have become what one professor describes as containerized kids. Professor Jane Clark from University of Maryland says, quote, they spend more and more time in car seats, high chairs, and even baby seats for watching TV, end quote. And by the way, adults are containerized also. We go from the containers we live in, to the containers we drive in, to the containers that we work in. And we shuffle our kids and ourselves from one container to the next. We might be lucky if we come across a tree or maybe a plant in our office. That's the extent of our experience with nature on a daily basis. Almost non-existent. Author Richard Louv argues that we need nature, and he outlines several important reasons for that. One reason is that outdoor play can help kids to be less sedentary and to help combat the increasing levels of obesity among kids. Our emotional health and that of our kids can also be impacted by our time spent in nature. One Cornell University study found that life's stressful events appear not to cause as much psychological distress in children who live in high nature conditions compared with children who live in low nature conditions, according to Nancy Wells, an assistant professor at Cornell. Nature can also nurture creativity, according to Louv. Allowing kids to have unstructured play, which often is what happens when they play outside, can be hugely beneficial. We encourage you to dive into the excellent research findings in this book. So, if connecting with nature helps make kids healthier, emotionally happier, and more creative, among countless other benefits, why aren't we getting kids outside and into nature more often? One reason is fear, and that's a topic that we'll tackle next. Big thought number three, the fear factor. Why our kids don't play outside anymore. Quote, fear is the most potent force that prevents parents from allowing their children the freedom they themselves enjoyed when they were young. Fear is the emotion that separates a developing child from the full essential benefits of nature. End quote. Louv suggests that the fear of crime, traffic, stranger danger, and the fear of letting kids be outside in nature might be misplaced fear. He relays a number of facts that are counter to the pervasive fears that kids are being abducted in large numbers or other such dangers. For example, when it comes to abductions, Louv tells us that, quote, by a wide margin, most of the abductors weren't strangers, but family members or someone the family knew, end quote. He also tells us that the number of annual stranger abductions is around 200 to 300. Of course, even one abduction is one too many. However, the point is that the level of fear that children will be snatched away by strangers is overblown. The real concern is the reality of the situation at hand, that our children are disconnected from the natural world and their own bodies, cooped up indoors, living almost entirely sedentary lives. Quote, two-thirds of American children can't pass a basic physical, notes the author, and 40% show early signs of heart and circulation problems, end quote. Louv summarizes this part of the book with a thought-provoking question. Quote, so where is the greatest danger? Outdoors, in the woods and fields, or on the couch in front of the TV? End quote. Now that is a great question indeed. The next big thought. You don't have to venture into the wild. Nature close to home. Quote, the dugout in the weeds or leaves beneath a backyard willow, the rivulet of a seasonal creek, even the ditch between a front yard and the road. All of these places are entire universes to a young child. End quote. What if you, as a parent, aren't particularly excited about venturing deep into some faraway woods and attempting to navigate by compass while avoiding snakes and other scary creatures? The good news is that there's plenty of opportunity to immerse your kids in nature very close to home. The author suggests activities as simple as taking kids to the creek to skip rocks, or just walking outside after it rains and counting worms that you find. You can go bug spotting for insects at night when you turn the porch light on, or looking for lightning bugs. Louv suggests that gardening is another great way to get children interested in nature, and that you may want to consider plants that grow quickly, like vegetables. Not only will kids be thrilled to see them grow, but also they may actually eat the vegetables that they worked so hard to nurture. Just think of how exciting it can be for a child to carve the pumpkin that they grew from scratch and roasting the pumpkin seeds to eat afterward. Sometimes as adults, we forget the things that we found wonder in as children. What was it for you? Discovering bird eggs in a nest or seeing minnows in shallow water around your feet? Perhaps just watching ants busily creating their anthills and cooperating with each other. We encourage you to develop some strategies in your life book for proactively getting out into nature with your kids. If time or other factors are an issue, you'll find it to be particularly helpful to read the many great ideas in this book for integrating nature into your child's life. If you want to venture into the jungles and forests, by all means, do just that. But if you'd rather go outside and plant a sunflower in your own backyard, that might be equally fun and wonderful for your children. The next big thought: future nature stewards, the endangered environmentalist. Quote, that environmentalists need the goodwill of children would seem self-evident, but more often than not, children are viewed as props or extraneous to the serious adult work of saving the world. End quote. Louvre asks this important and provocative question: where will future stewards of nature come from? Consider this: if our children don't grow up valuing nature and understanding the importance of preserving the environment, then who exactly will fight to protect it? There are some enlightening facts in the book about declining attendance at national parks, as well as a phenomenon called windshield tours that replace outdoor activities such as camping. Rather than actually going and experiencing nature, visitors today are likely to experience it by looking through their windshields. After all, once the selfie photo is taken in front of the Grand Canyon, why bother to go and actually hike it, right? A number of studies have confirmed that experiencing nature in childhood was an important factor that led environmental activists down their career path. It's also noted that, quote, free play in nature is far more effective than mandatory adult organized activities in nature, end quote. If you want your kids to grow up really appreciating nature, let them get a bit muddy from time to time. This topic of free play is also explored in another great book we reviewed called Free to Learn by Peter Gray. Make sure to check out that life note too. The planet's future leaders, who will protect the environment for our future generations, are the kids who are playing out in nature right now. Will your child be someone who grows up and helps to protect thousands of acres of natural forest, or someone who helps save an animal from extinction? Or will he or she grow up to simply read about environmental destruction with no real feeling of vested interest in doing anything about it? Getting your kids out in nature can have a fundamental impact, not just on your children, but also on the world. The final big thought: the jungle blackboard, environment-based education. Quote, an increasing number of parents and a few good schools are realizing the importance and the magic of providing hands-on, intimate contact between children and nature as a larger part of a child's education. End quote. The integration of nature and the environment into the educational process for children is starting to happen, although perhaps on a more grassroots level with certain forward-thinking teachers than in a truly mainstream way. Louvre highlights some of the benefits of this environment-based education. Referencing one study by the State Education and Environmental Roundtable, he writes, quote, the findings are stunning. Environment-based education produces student gains in social studies, science, language arts, and math, improves standardized test scores and grade point averages, and develops skills in problem-solving, critical thinking, and decision-making, end quote. So, if environment-based education leads to all these wonderful results for children, it seems to certainly make sense to make use of it as an educational strategy. Some teachers are taking children in their classrooms on field trips to study nature. Another example Louvre mentions is a proactive teacher who created a program where eighth graders ended classes a few weeks early and used that extra time for studying a glacier nearby. We love that idea. There's a fantastic and comprehensive list of ideas and resources at the end of the book that you can check out as well. Everything from the Sierra Club to the National Wildlife Federation to the idea of a nature gym and more. In fact, Louvre includes 100 actions we can take at the end of the book. So if you agree with the point of view that children need increased immersion in nature, but you're not sure of the best way to go about it, now you have 100 new action steps for how to accomplish that goal. We highly recommend that you check out all the great ideas and inspiration in The Last Child in the Woods. And if you have your own ideas or nature resources you'd like to share with the Lifebook community, please feel free to share those in the comments section of this Life Notes post. We look forward to being inspired by you as well. So there we have it, Richard Louv's guide to getting kids to learn, grow, appreciate, and enjoy the outdoors. We hope you found it valuable and insightful. Thank you so much for listening in. We look forward to sharing more wisdom with you again soon. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.